CBS Eye on the World, I'm John Batchelor. Donald Trump, candidate for the presidency again. His attorneys write the Attorney General, the Department of Justice, about a presenting matter, special counsel to investigate Donald Trump's handling of documents, classified documents at Mar-a-Lago. It's a long story, but we'll come to the letter. We represent Donald J. Trump, the 45th president of the United States, in the investigation currently being conducted by the special counsel's office. Unlike President Biden, his son Hunter, and the Biden family, President Trump is being treated unfairly. No president of the United States has ever, in the history of our country, been baselessly investigated in such an outrageous and unlawful fashion. We, the attorneys, request a meeting at your earliest convenience to discuss the ongoing injustice that is being perpetrated by your special counsel and his prosecutors. I welcome Thaddeus McCotter of American Greatness and Andrew McCarthy of the National Review Online. Andy, I begin with you because this is a whale of a letter. I'm unfamiliar with attorneys for defense writing letters to demand to have a meeting because this is unfair. Is this customary in large cases like this? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John and Thaddeus. It's customary, not, John, to write to the Attorney General necessarily, but in big, usually nonviolent cases where there's, you know, some discretion as far as time is concerned regarding when and whether you bring charges. It's customary for defense lawyers to try to weigh in with the lead prosecutor, with the United States attorney in state cases, with the district attorney, to try to persuade the office not to charge the defendant. Because in those cases, being indicted is basically something that will put you out of business, destroy your reputation for a legitimate person. And that even includes politicians on some accounting. Being indicted is like the end of your career ordinarily. So they don't wait to be charged in order to protest. They usually will try to persuade the authorities not to charge.
Thaddeus, you have a question for Andy.
Andy, obviously, is this in some ways trying to impact potential jurors should it come to trial, preaching that it's unjust, you know, to lay the groundwork?
Yeah, I think so, Thaddeus. And we've seen that in a number of other contexts. You know, unfortunately, the former president is under investigation in various places. So particularly in New York, where he's been charged by the district attorney, we've seen a lot of rhetoric and a lot of social media postings by the former president to attack the prosecutors and suggest the proceedings against him and the investigations against him are unfair.
You publish at the National Review Online an analysis of this Mar-a-Lago case. There are several others, so I want to be particular to this one, that the letter, the special counsels for this case, and the letter is about this case. And you say that it's gone through a transformation since the first revelation till now. It's now something of an obstruction case. Why the change, Andy? What has happened in the interim between discovering the documents? I remember there was something about a raid or an unusual presentation by the FBI. And today, where did the original understanding of violating national secrets go?
Well, when the president's or the former president's Mar-a-Lago estate was searched by the FBI in August of last year, and they recovered 100 classified documents, or more than 100, which meant that they had recovered over 300 up to that point. It looked, John, for a number of months after that August raid, that the FBI was about to bring a case related to classified documents. In fact, when they got the search warrant from the court, the lead charge that they had in there was that Trump had violated the Espionage Act by mishandling classified information. The thing that happened that made them change course is that we learned in January of this year that President Biden has also been a serial hoarder of classified documents throughout his long career in politics, at least going back decades to when he was in the Senate. Right after that, we also learned that Mike Pence, the vice president under Trump, also kept classified information that he wasn't supposed to have after he left office. So especially because the Biden Justice Department doesn't have any intention, you can be sure, to recommend that President Biden be charged with violating the Espionage Act, it became very politically difficult to do the kind of case I think they anticipated doing with Trump. So in order to distinguish the Trump situation from the Biden situation, what they have said is that Biden cooperated with the authorities in trying to locate and return the classified documents, whereas Trump has not only fought them at every turn for a couple of years, but there is evidence that Trump misled the grand jury that was probing his handling of the classified documents. Specifically, in June of last year, he had been given a grand jury subpoena to turn over any documents in his possession that had classified markings on it. The Trump people met with the FBI on June 3rd and said they had done a thorough search of Mar-a-Lago and were returning to the Bureau a package of 38 documents that they represented was the entirety of what was left. And then, of course, it turned out that that wasn't true. There were over 100 more left.
So what we have is based upon subsequent conduct of Donald Trump, not the original discovery. That's behind us. That's not going to come back.
Well, it's very difficult for them to charge Trump with mishandling classified information if they're not going to charge Biden with that same crime. And I think the grand jury aspect of this is something that's not common to the Biden investigation. So they'll probably rely on that.
That is.
So in some ways, Andy, it's a little sneakier because if the Democrat has done it, you can't charge the Republican for doing the same thing because it'll look bad. So what you do is you find a process crime and then you can indict on that. Is that kind of what we're looking at? It's a process.
Well, that is. They certainly are going to, if they proceed, as I anticipate, on the grand jury subpoena and this idea that he misled the investigators, that's absolutely what they're doing. It's a process crime rather than the thing that they were investigating him for in the first place.
And if I can, this then brings back some of the bitter memories that the GOP and others have of what happened to General Flynn.
Yeah, I think, you know, the thing with General Flynn over time, I think, became even worse. Because that was really not an authorized investigation in the sense that the FBI didn't violate statutory law, but they violated Justice Department protocols in conducting that investigation without alerting the Justice Department or the White House. And then they said that they didn't think he had lied, so they didn't charge him. And then the Mueller people came in and they decided to charge him under, you know, fishy circumstances. Attorney General Barr was then appointed, and he took another look at it with the assistance of a prosecutor he brought in for that purpose. And they thought that Flynn shouldn't have been charged in the first place. But the district judge wouldn't let them dismiss the case, even though it's not the court's bailiwick to decide who gets charged and who doesn't get charged. And as a result, President Trump had to pardon Flynn in order to get him out from under that.
This letter that's written about the special counsel. This letter suggests that we're near a decision point, Andy?
Yeah, I think so, John. There's two threads to pull on that. First, the letter obviously would not have been sent unless they had reason to think that something was up, because this situation has gone on for a number of months without a letter of this kind. The other thing is the Wall Street Journal reporting this week a very lengthy report that indicates that special counsel Jack Smith, who is the Biden Justice Department's appointed special counsel, they say he has completed his Mar-a-Lago investigation and may, in fact, have recommended already to Attorney General Garland that charges be brought.
That is.
Andy, what can we expect next? Obviously, the letter's been sent by Trump's attorneys. The other prosecutions are going forward. When does Donald Trump first appear in court, do you think, on any of this?
Well, the next date that we have, we know that he's been indicted in Manhattan. I think that's a bogus case, but it does look like it's proceeding. So He's trying to get that moved into federal court. They'll have a hearing on that next month. I don't anticipate that they'll win that. That case has been scheduled for trial on March 25th of 2024, which is right smack in the middle of the primaries. In fact, I think it's 2 weeks after Super Tuesday. But before that, Thaddeus, they have the district attorney of Fulton County, who's looking at election law, state election law violations in connection with the 2020 election and Trump's Stop the Steal stuff. She has told the court or asked the court to clear its decks for the first 2 weeks of August. So that appears to be when she anticipates indicting Trump, which we've been hearing about for some time. So that could happen the first week in August. And then another thing not to go to sleep on is October 3rd is the commencement of the civil fraud trial that's been brought by State Attorney General in New York, Letitia James, against Trump and his adult children. That's supposed to go to trial October 3rd, and that may take a number of weeks. So there's a lot of litigation here.
And you mentioned Fulton County. Is that a firm date for Fulton County's investigation as well?
It's hard to say that for certain, John, because this is all grand jury stuff at the moment, so that's secret. But she has to, if she's going to bring indictment, she has to do it by September 1st.
Okay.
Because that's when her grand jury runs out. And given the logistical situation that would be involved in charging Trump, it's not surprising that she would alert the court that they should put other business aside at a particular period of time. It's not just Trump. She may indict, a dozen or more people for all we know.
I'm speaking with Andrew McCarthy of the National Review Online and Thaddeus McCotter of American Greatness about the cascade of charges against the former president during the time that he is a candidate for the presidency. However, my reading of this is that the Mar-a-Lago case, the special counsel, is the one with weight behind it. So when we come back, what can we anticipate of an indictment? What does it look like? Does the president surrender himself? Does he get out on bail? What is this for the Republican Party, for the nation itself? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.